some of you guys know me. I see a lot of familiar faces. If you do not know me, I am Pastor Steve. I am the youth pastor. It's great to be out here. Pastor Mark hit me up. Has been over probably about a year and a half since I've been out here. I was also had the pleasure of doing first service for Pastor James. Did you guys enjoy the youth band? That's what I get every Sunday. Except for you guys usually get Gigi sometimes with Greg, but believe it or not, they're sisters. They sound beautiful together. So I'm very spoiled this morning, very excited. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to John chapter 16, verse 25, and just stay there for a minute. Okay, so praying about this for about 2 months, and with all the craziness going on in the world, and the church in a whole is a hot mess, but we know Jesus cleans up those messes, amen, as we submit to him. So I don't do a whole lot of topicals, but I'm going to be teaching on we are overcomers. But we're overcomers in Christ. And before I share the scriptures, I'm going to kind of walk you through from chapter 13 through 16. So in the Gospel of John, in chapter 13, Jesus kind of basically bailed from public ministry and to kind of just with the 12 in their inner circle. Okay? He's preparing them for his departure. He's preparing them for his crucifixion and resurrection. So in chapter 13, I love how Jesus just liked to drop bombs. Amen? So they get up there. They're getting ready to go into the upper room. All of a sudden, what does he start doing? Starts washing their feet. He's basically doing a visual of being a servant. The Bible says the Son of Man have not become served to be what? To be a servant. He sets the example for us. Then he drops a couple other bombs. Oh, by the way, one of my best friends here is going to hand me over to be murdered. Oh, by the way, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. What I love in the next chapter, he knew that he stirred the pot. They needed to hear these things. What I love in chapter 14, verse 20, he says, let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me also. He goes on to say that he's preparing a place for us. One day he's going to come back. Guys, we're going to go through issues. Okay? But we have to understand, if we are with Christ, we're in good company. He will tell us the truth, but he'll also give us his promises to help us through it. Then we go on to chapter 15. The crew's been over to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he starts using an analogy talking about he is the true vine. And I love this because he made it simple. Abide in me, and I in you. Because why? Apart from me, what? We can't do nothing, guys. I love the Word of God. I love how he tells us what's up, what's to come, and what to expect. But you need to know the Word of God. Then they get into chapter 16. And he's, in the other gospel talks about there in the Garden of Gethsemane. You guys know that he goes and he prays 3 times. Jesus was fully man and fully God. Yes, he was not afraid to die for you. What was his issue? This is going to be the first time that he broke fellowship with the Father. But he didn't give up, did he? He asked, but he remained true. And guys, Jesus didn't give up, and we can't either. Amen? And I love, how many here have seen the Passion of Christ? When he prays 3 times, not that third prayer, what does he do? Game face. And then what happens? A little snake come by, and he goes, it was over right then. But he had to fulfill prophecy to die on the cross for you and I, to rise again the third day to give us life. I don't know about you guys, but that does something for me. But before he endured the cross, he knew what his disciples needed to hear. He knows what we need to hear if we're listening. In John chapter 16, verse 25, Jesus says, he's speaking to the disciples, these things I have spoken to you in a figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in a figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, And I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because he has loved me, and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father, and I've come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. He's reiterating on what's about to happen. Then in verse 29, his disciples said to him, "See, now you speak plainly and using no figurative speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came from God." And Jesus answered, "Do you believe?" Didn't happen first service. Do you believe? Guys, sometimes we get to that area, and there's another story in one of the Gospels talks about. I feel like I'm on a boat. But those times that we may question. Again, you guys remember that story with the centurion soldier when he tells Jesus about his son? And Jesus says, "You know what? He's healed." And he goes, "You know what? I believe, but what? Help my unbelief." Sometimes we get there. But we need to rebuke the temptation of the thinking and doubting, because we do not need to doubt the Lord. And verse 30 says, "Indeed, the hour is coming, and yes, has come. You will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yes, but yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me." Verse 33, and this is the key verse. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And if Jesus has overcome the world, and you place your faith in him, guess what? So have we. But you get to walk in that. You need to own that. Because so many times we get consumed by the things of this world and we give up. It is so crazy. We are living in the last days. We're living in the days of apostasy, the great falling away from the church. But again, we have youth pastors committing suicide. We have renowned Christian authors, after 20 years, denouncing his faith, and a worship leader on social media. Now, I do not judge them. I pray for them. But what happened? What happened? God knows what we're living in and what we need. But we need to be of good cheer. We cannot be afraid. You know what's interesting? I was reading up on these people who made these statements. And this one guy kind of put it in a nutshell. You know, the author, he knew his word. Doctrinally sound. But where was the relationship? The worship leader, he was having the relationship, but the comments he made, he didn't really know his word. Goes hand in hand, people. It has to connect. The mind needs to connect to the heart. The heart needs to connect to the mind. If you don't have that, you don't have a well-balanced meal. And guess what? Satan's going to get in there and rip you off. You need to sit at his feet, stay at his feet, and get from him. And not just weekly, daily. If you guys are me, minute by minute. Because you know what? I know myself, I know how bad my flesh, my sinful nature could be, and I need Jesus. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Guys might want to turn this down a little bit or something. Watch the battery. Pause. So how are you guys doing, family? So far, good? I'm live streaming, so this is awkward. Guys, right now, as you heard what I've already said, thank you. Now is the time to examine yourself. Where are you where you need to be? This message is an exhortation, an encouragement, and a challenge. Again, I'm not even there. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at verse 13. But guys, we need to really know who we are in Christ and how we need to live. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, it says, "Therefore, gird up your loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. Because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" We are not perfect, but we're being perfected. That is that sanctification process, that we're set apart outside of this world. And it's God's divine nature in us, making us who we need to be for his glory and for his kingdom. Again, we need to know who we really are. Not lying to ourselves, not trying to be something we're not, even within the church. Be you. Be you in Christ. I'm a big mess. With a psychotic laugh. But I bring it to the table. And God loves me. And God helps me. But we need to be solid. The holy nature of God is the motivation for Christian holiness. Again, the Holy Spirit, the holy nature of God is our motivation to produce in us Christian holiness. I want to stop right now. I'm going to be Pastor Steve now. Stand up. If you can't stand, I understand. So don't stand up. But if you can stand up, stand up. And I want to take this time for what's been said already to reflect. I want everybody to close your eyes. And I'm going to pray. And while I'm praying, I want you to pray individually for whatever you want, whoever you want. And then we're going to do something else. So, Father, we thank you for bringing us together as your body. Lord, your presence is here. And I pray as I'm praying, as everyone else is praying in this room, that you would meet their needs. You would answer all and every prayer according to your will and in your timing. So, Father, help us to have confidence. As your children are speaking, you are listening. You do not have a deaf ear to us. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Now stay standing. And what I want to do, I want to take the next step. Pastor Mark does this periodically. Lord put it on my heart this morning to do it. I don't know everyone in this room. I don't know where everyone's at. There might be people in here who are doubting their relationship with you. Maybe they're on shaky ground. Maybe you just need a refreshment. So what we're going to do is we're going to recommit our vows. If it's first time, whatever it is, let's do it. Amen? We're here. Why not? So repeat after me. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Come inside me and make me yours. Do what you need to keep me where I need to be. Help me, Lord, to know you, not just in my head, but in my heart. So we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys may be seated. Thank you. Guys, we can never forget the power of God's word. It's being taught. It's being prayed. We need to receive it. In doing that, we can truly be a sincere reflection of Him. But now it's time to walk. Amen? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. This is my favorite chapter in this book. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 1. And I love this because it tells us straight up what we need to do. It says, therefore, Ephesians 5:1, be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be even named among you, as is fitting for the saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, coarse jesting, which is not fitting, but rather giving thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Do not be partakers with them. Also, Paul talks about, I forget where it's at, but bad company corrupts. We need to be around like-minded people, not completely separating ourselves from the world because we can't, but we need to be edifying one another as we go out, then we can reflect Christ and reach a world that does not know him. Everyone in this room knows someone that doesn't know the Lord. What are you doing about it? Are you praying for them? Are you putting them at the altar in your prayers and really showing them the love that God has shown you? Let's continue. Verse 8. For you once were darkness, but now you are children, or you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful to even speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things are exposed, and all things are manifested by the light. For whoever makes manifest the light, therefore, it says, verse 14, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. He gives us that Holy Spirit to reflect him, to shine bright, and to overflow on one another. Now, I forgot to use this first service, but I paraphrase it very badly. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul exhorts Timothy, and he tells them we live in perilous times. People are going to be lovers of themselves, lovers of everything opposite. And these people were once with us, but they were never of us. Guys, we're living in the last days. We're living in dark times. But I'm encouraged because you know what? We're closer than we are today than yesterday. Amen? That's where you got to look at it. As we're waiting, let's know who we are in Christ, own it, and then let us walk. Turn with me to Romans chapter 13. Now as we walk, we need to put on Jesus, guys. Let's look at chapter 13, verse 11. Again, this is Apostle Paul speaking. Chapter 13 of Romans, verse 11. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off all the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in rivalry or drunkenness, not lewdness and lust nor strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fill its lust. Guys, we need to put on the full, or as my shirt says, the whole armor of God. This isn't Under Armour. Whole armor. Ah, got it yesterday. Size is important one too. Anyways. Size, like, the scripture's not on it. Well, you guys should know it anyways. It's Ephesians 6. We need to put on the full armor of God every day. And if you're not putting on, do you really think you're going to stand? Living in this world, we're in nothing but battles. But the war has already been won. So we need to put on Christ. Make no provision for the flesh that it says in the Word. But every day we need to die to ourselves. Every day. That sinful nature always wants to come back alive, doesn't it? And if we feed it, it will, won't it? Now, I got corrected. This isn't a bad movie. It's based on a true story. messed up the name for a service. Of course, Greg Walsh called me out on it. But there's a movie with Russell Crowe called Beautiful Minds. Anyone seen it? Oh, look at you guys. I'm a movie buff. Now, this movie's based on a true story. This young man that was a genius went to college. But guess what? He was schizophrenic. Came to grips with it. I love how the movie progresses. Pretty much at the end, they reinstated him. And he's walking with one of his buddies that started school at the same time. Now he's the dean. And they're walking up the stairs. And the guy's all, do you still see them? He looks. All three of them are walking right next to him, but they're not there. And he goes, I choose to ignore it. We can't ignore our flesh. We need to kill it. Every day. I'm pretty brutal. My relationship with God, probably nothing like yours. Because that's what I need. My relationship, personal relationship, is not like Tim's and his not like mine. Because I'm me and he is him. Generally speaking, the Bible applies to us, but he deals with us individuals and corporately as the body. Amen? And I ask the Lord every day, man, beat my flesh into submission. Keep me where I need to be. Because I'm not in denial. I know who I am. But I know who I am in Christ. And I want to live for that. I want to live for him. I want to be that person. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Some of you guys know where I'm going with this. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians 5, verse 16. And Paul the Apostle says, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Boom, right there. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these things are contrary to one another. So I do not do the things that you wish. Guys, it's a constant battle. It's a constant battle from the flesh and the Spirit. Who's winning the fight? Guys, we have everything we need. We have all the tools. Guess what? You have Jesus inside you. You have the same power that he has, but you got to tap into it. You got to let him be your life. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are idolatry, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresy, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But here's us. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desire. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And the Bible plainly told us how to in Ephesians chapter 5. As we are in this process, guys, we will be a true reflection of Christ. And it will motivate us to reach the lost. Because it's not just about us. We know who we are. We know how to walk. Now what are we supposed to be doing? Amen? Wake up, people. Come on. You're like, man, this guy's mean. But no, I'm just so tripping out of how bad things are. Well, I'm not tripping out. I mean, the Bible talks about it. But it just kills me. But church, we need to do something about it. We can't give up. That's not an option. That shouldn't be in our vocabulary. Because Jesus did not give up on you. So many times we want to give up on other people because they're unlovable. Well, we were too at one time. You know, God's always going to bring you that one guy or that one person. You know what I'm talking about? I used to be that guy. No one wanted to be near me. But God brings people like that in your life to test your faith. To be that spiritual sandpaper. To get us to a point where we need to love. And I tell the kids all the time, we need to see people the way Christ does. Period. It's not about what we like about them or how they treat us. Because what does unconditional love mean? Someone throw it out there. What does it mean? Okay, Tim. I need a little bit more. Thank you. Boom. No matter what, not what you can get. It's what you can give. It doesn't matter what you get at. We're called to love anyways because Jesus did it. And he's in us. And we are in him. And we need to do this. We need to use discernment. The only way you can do this is completely, 100%, consistently sit at his feet. Because I'll tell you now, people are hard, man. Amen? It's like if there was no people, it'd be cake. But I would be lonely. I'm not really into animals. My daughter is. Oh, man. Sia's got this cat. And that was by the grace of God because I don't do cats. No offense, Christy. I know you love yours. But this cat is cute. It was born with a broken tail. He's fine. But it's funny when he runs like a propeller. So I'm like, it's not hurting him. Keep it that way. It's interesting. But my daughter loves these animals so much. She goes, I don't like cats. Well, who snuggles with it all the time? If we can love animals, why can't we love people more? I'm not dissing you, animal people. Continue to fluff it up. But what about your neighbor? What about that in-law? What about your kids? Trust me, I work with youth all the time. Sometimes you just want to walk them in the closet. That's illegal, by the way. You can't do it. I'm surprised I still have a job. But again, let's turn with me to 1 Peter. While we're turning there, I want to share a quick story. Because whatever I go through that can help you people, I give it to you. Because all things are common. Amen? So while I'm gabbing, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, and we'll chill there for a second. Let me get there so I know where I'm at when I get there. But this morning, every morning, when I get in the shower, well, actually, let's rewind. Every morning, like clockwork, from 5:30 to 5:45, this man texts me every morning. I'm like, oh, what a jerk. No. First of all, I'll set an alarm. That's a joke. My body just wakes up no matter what. And once I'm awake, I'm awake. You got those people out there? What about you snooze people? I was going to say, why? What's the point? You're teasing yourself. Makes you more sleepy. But this guy, every morning, shares a devotion. Now, if you know me, I always have my phone by me. Don't judge. And I have it on vibrate. That wakes me up if I am asleep. First thing I do, I turn over, getting the crusties out, and boom, I get a devotion. Thank you, by the way. Serious. And then I get in the shower, and that's where I do business. This morning, praying for my family, for you guys, for me being out here because it's freaky. And all of a sudden, Lord, keep me humble, and I'm brushing my teeth. All of a sudden, my veneer pops off my tooth. I'm very self-conscious. That's why you won't see me smiling much right now. And I'm combing this down. I know that's stupid, but very humbling. Lord knows what to do, when to do it. Amen? You ask and you will receive. I know the Lord does certain things because it makes it real to me. Now, is that ideal? No. God doesn't do ideal, does he? He does what he wants. And I'm okay with that. But what it did, not just really make them prideful up here, it just, you know what? I'm just dependent on him so much more. And he just said, basically, popping off, said, Steve, I'm with you right now. I got this. Just go do it. You guys got this. Go do it. Whatever that means in your life. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, calling us out. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. I love that. Who once were not a people, but now the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Verse 11, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which wars against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, those who do not know, that when they speak against you as evildoers, that they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. We need to reflect, guys. People need to know who we are and what we're about. Because we're called. We're called to reach those who are unreachable. We need to reach those who do not know him. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm giving you guys a lot of scripture this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting with verse 17. I love this. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. We all know that verse, right? Well, do you know the ones I'm going to read now? Now all things are of God, verse 18. Who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And this is what we need to do. Now then, verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God was pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made himself, who knew no sin, be sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in him. Don't you want other people to know this? Don't you want them to know that you've been reconciled from how messed up we have been, but now in his eyes we are perfect? And then one day as we sing that song, never gets old to me. I can only imagine. Get asked all the time. What do I tell them? I can only imagine. We get tidbits, but we don't know for sure. But it's going to be great. It's going to be perfect. And trust, if he says it, I believe it. Last week I wore a shirt. It says, what did it say? I don't remember. Because God said so. Had a picture of Jesus. And it looked like he was, I think he was from the garden. You know? Because God said so. You need to do this, son. And he did it. And who's reaping the benefits? Us. For those who are in Christ. So we should not be silent about it. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation to announce the message of what God, who was in Christ, has done to provide atonement for our sin. Those already reconciled have the commission to bring the message to others. Now, I hope you guys know where I'm going with this. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 28. As we know in the Gospels, and it's recorded in the book of Matthew, chapter 28, before Jesus ascends, he's risen, before he ascends to heaven, he's calling out the disciples, and he's calling out us. Chapter 28, verse 16, says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain, which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted." Wow. "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth.'" He's right there with us, guys. So if he's there with us, let's not give up. Let's continue to fight the good fight. The war has already been won. We just need to fight these little battles until we go home. But we need to lift each other up. The church needs to be unified, that we can be an effective, healthy light to those who do not know. So I'm going to bring the worship team up, and we're going to do some worship right now. I really want you guys, move that mic, really want you guys to really take this time. You have the freedom to worship. You can stand up, raise your hands, but really reflect, examine where you are, where you need to be. If you're in a good place, guess what? Stay there. A lot of us get swirly and sometimes move where we shouldn't move. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for how amazing you really are. You love the unlovable. You die while we are still your enemies. You died for us. But Lord, now we're your kids. And you're a father that gives perfect gifts. You want to bless us. You bless us by just giving us eternal life, but there's so much more. Eternal life starts now by the quality of life we live here. I know a lot of us are getting attacked. We're under the gun. We're being afflicted physically, spiritually, mentally. So we need to cling to you. We need to abide in you and hold on tight. So Lord, I pray that you would just flood this place with yourself. Help us, Lord, to worship you in spirit and truth. In Jesus' name, amen. If you guys need prayer, prayer room's open. I got 3 minutes. Pray with each other. God bless you. Love you.